a tear in my beard. Oh, I'm crying for you, dear.
Well, I don't know if there's a tear in his beer, but there's a tear in his glass of milk. A farmer north of London got some very bad news yesterday in his ongoing crusade, a crusade he's been on for 20 years, to clear the path legally for you and I to be able to buy and drink raw milk, unpasteurized milk, the kind of milk that Andy Udman drank for the first 25 years of his life and grew to be a healthy, strapping boy of 6'3". And still at the current, I was going to give away my age. I'm not going to do that. An older fella, still drinking milk and not taking a single bottle of pills. So I think that gives you an indication that raw milk is good for you, although some people would argue differently. Just before we get to talking to Michael Schmidt, I want to bring in a lawyer, the lawyer for Michael Schmidt, Karen Selleck. Karen is with us now. Karen, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Michael, how are you this morning?
I'm perfect.
Well, that's a brave thing to say on the day after the court decision. Karen, just explain in as short a way as you can the big court decision against Michael Schmidt.
Okay, there were 19 charges that Michael had been previously acquitted on. One of them wasn't contested. Three, the acquittal was maintained, and 15, the acquittal was reversed. So he's convicted on 15 charges. And in addition to finding him guilty, the court considered all of the constitutional arguments, because we brought a couple of arguments under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and all of them were dismissed.
What has he been found guilty of?
14 counts of distributing and or selling unpasteurized milk, and one count of operating a milk plant without a license.
Now, the bottom line, he says that the judge is saying that we don't have the right to buy, to drink raw milk from our own cows. Is that correct?
Well, that's what it amounts to, because the argument that Michael makes is that he's not the owner of the cows. The people who are the members of the cow share cooperative are the owners of the cows. And there's nothing that says you can't drink your own cow's milk. It says that you can't sell it, you can't distribute it, you can't, you know, there's a whole variety of things that you can't do, but the position that we took at the hearing, that Michael has always taken, is that they are the owners of the cows, and so they're just drinking their own cow's milk. They just don't happen to live on the farm where the cow lives.
Now, this law was established back in 1938. I mean, a lot has happened since then.
In terms of
science, in terms of new technologies.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting into the question of whether this law is even necessary, then, you know, that's a separate issue from what the judge decided. Mm-hmm. That's not what the court was even responsible for deciding.
Michael, are you at your farm this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Are there any police cruisers in the driveway?
I haven't seen any yet.
Karen, could there be soon? I'm being facetious, but...
No, I understand what you...
Michael, where are you legally this morning in terms of milking your cows, taking that raw milk, and selling the product to other people?
No. Okay, to make that very clear, we're not selling, and that is, I think, the whole point here, that people actually get their milk from their cows, and so this is not... That doesn't consist of a sale... It is rather that we get paid for milking these cows. And so we are not dealing here with something the government should be really concerned about, because we're not distributing to the public. We're not distributing it to the supermarket. It is only those people who made a commitment to the farm who actually get that milk.
Now, on the original acquittal, though, the judge acknowledged that you had a private contract with your shareholders, that basically is a private contract and the government had no business intervening.
Well, I think what, and Karen can correct me on that, but he made it very clear. He said that if people make a commitment, a sizable commitment, in that case a financial contribution to the operation, and are well informed, then they have the right to opt out of the protection of the state. So it's not necessarily the issue of a private contract. It is more the issue: are people committed? Are they informed to enter in that kind of agreement? And then they have the right to opt out of the protection of the government. And that, I think, was a kind of with a lot of, you know, I think it was a wise judgment. As more as I'm reading the ruling now, it is actually, in a way, very narrow-minded and focused. I almost would say toe the line to current policies ruling, and not at all a breakthrough in justice.
Okay, where do we stand now? Your lawyer is Karen. Karen, yep. Where do we stand legally now? What can Michael do? What can he not do?
Well, according to this judgment, he cannot continue to do what he has been doing because they will probably charge him again.
And what he's been doing is?
What he's been doing is operating his cow share arrangement. He's been, you know, milking the cows and making the milk available to the people who own the cows.
Driving it in a blue bus to Toronto every, what is it, Tuesday, and selling it to hundreds of people.
Well, he doesn't sell it. They already own it. Because if you own a cow that gives birth to a calf, you're the owner of the calf. So anything that's produced by a cow that you own, you own the product too. If you own the cow, you own the milk. So, you know, that's the argument.
Okay, but let's not kid ourselves. Michael has to eat. He has to make a living.
Right.
Michael,
charges people for his services.
Oh, okay.
There's a recognized system called adjustment. That's A-G-I-S-T-M-E-N-T, which is recognized in British common law going back for centuries. And still, you can still find cases about adjustment where people, you know, in effect, board their animals, their livestock with a farmer. And they pay him for the services of, you know, feeding it, looking after it, doing all the things that you have to do.
So Michael is not a savvy, articulate crusader. He is not a progressive farmer. He's a hired dairy hand.
Well, he's the edgister, and that doesn't deny the fact that he is an articulate and progressive farmer. He's all of those things.
What does this mean, Michael, now for all the people out there doing cow shares right now across Canada? I mean, you've been training farmers to do cow shares, to learn how to run cow shares properly and, you know, to raise animals properly and so on. What does this mean across Canada?
It doesn't mean any change in the position I'm taking or in regards to moving that issue forward. Cowshare Canada is operating. We keep training farmers. We keep encouraging farmers to get into that because, at the end, it is a matter of rights for people that they can make an informed choice.
But I thought I heard Karen just say moments ago that you can no longer do what you've been doing.
Well, that's what Karen said. He can be charged.
Sorry, Karen, make it clear. What did you say?
He can be charged again.
Sorry, say again. What did you say?
He can be charged again.
Mm-hmm.
For
doing the same thing that he has been doing.
So, when I was joking about the police cruisers, I wasn't too far out of line. Health inspectors, whatever.
Well, that is a possibility. We tried to canvass this with first with opposing counsel and with the Deputy Minister of Health and the Chief Medical Officer of Health in Ontario. Prior to the decision coming down, we said, what are your intentions if this decision is adverse to Mr. Schmidt? And nobody will answer us. I literally said, you know, that we want to know whether you're planning to raid the farm or what you're planning to do, because there will be very adverse consequences, not only to the farmers, not just Michael, but any other cow share farmers, and to the cow share members. And
Michael,
no, they wouldn't answer.
Michael, read the writing on the wall. They're coming to get you.
No, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid. Do you know what, Andy? The point is here, you know, if they want to pursue that issue, I think every time the government is pushing us against the wall, they're creating more demand for the milk. They're creating more awareness amongst the people. And I think we're getting pretty close to that people say no. You know, they start resisting. And I think what they're basically helping us is to organize the movement into a really active group to lobby the government and to show clear defiance.
Now, a recent survey showed that about 70% of Ontarians believe that it should be available, raw milk should be available to us.
Well, go just, you know, check the websites of the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star and Toronto Sun, and the reactions of people. The majority are appalled by the ruling and appalled by the stand by the government that we, you know, have to eat what the government tells us to eat, that we do not have a choice. We always believe we have a choice, but in fact, we do not have a choice. And I think there is, you know, like Martin Luther said, there is a moral obligation to break unjust laws, and I think this is what this is all about.
Well, that may be very nice, Michael, and I applaud you totally, but the law is the law, and I'm telling you, they're coming to get you, my friend.
Well, I will welcome them.
Well, ironically, Michael, you're charged under the Queen of England, and she drinks raw milk herself. Prince Harry, Prince William, they were raised on raw milk, and you're charged under the crown.
You see, you really need to look at it. Is it law or is it a regulation what we're dealing here with? And the whole discussion is so tainted here in Canada and North America, and mostly in Canada, for a very simple reason. We have milk marketing boards who control the entire milk market. They're deadly against any kind of alternative marketing in that regard. And then it's always the fear factor which is used. That means people should be afraid to drink raw milk. And we have exactly the opposite reaction, that people actually get healthier from that milk.
Okay, hold that thought. Karen, I want to ask you, when we come back, are they going to come and get Michael? Or are they going to take his cows away? Or are they going to put him in jail? We want to know when we come back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. It's in all the media this morning, but most people don't even know about it. This battle that Michael Schmidt has been waging, this farmer from the Owen Sound area, been waging to clear the way for you and I to be able to drink, buy, and drink raw milk. The courts have decided. Well, here's the headline in today's Toronto Star. Court sides with Ontario against raw milk farmer. And I keep saying, unless I'm misreading the situation, that Michael, the public health inspectors are coming to get you. Karen Selick is your lawyer. Karen, is Michael in some danger?
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But whether what their plans are, I don't know because I'm not clairvoyant, and they won't tell me despite my request. Now, what our plans are to seek leave to appeal at the Ontario Court of Appeal because we do not have an automatic right of appeal under this legislation. So we have to persuade the Court of Appeal that this is a case of sufficient importance for it to hear. And I think that we probably will get past that hurdle, and then we will be able to conduct our appeal. But whether they will, you know, take this intervening time to try to enforce what they see as the current state of the law, I can't predict.
I asked you a blunt question. I said, is Michael in danger? You said yes. He is in danger of what?
He's in danger of further charges and further orders being made against him, and further fines and penalties.
Now, a cease and desist order would mean that he would have to stop milking the cows. Now, this would be inhumane. The cows would die. I mean, there'd be terrible ramifications with regards to the health of the cows.
Well, it would depend on what the order actually said. Mm-hmm. It's not very likely that the order would say he has to stop milking them.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably say that he has to stop, you know, distributing, but, you know, that's what the decision says.
Michael, what are you planning to do?
I will milk the cows until the cows come home. Bottom line.
Bada bing, bada boom. You will milk the cows until the cows come home. You will not be discouraged, Michael.
Not at all. I'm not discouraged.
No.
I think these are just, I wouldn't call them bumps in the road. These are rocks in the road, which simply teach us to jump higher in regards to the question, do we understand that our liberty is at stake here, that our, you know, our health is at stake, and if you're not willing to stand up for it, you know, where are we ending up? I mean, if we always crumble under the fear factor government is trying to bring forward, we soon won't be able to do anything simply because government thinks they need to protect us from ourselves. And
now,
that is, I'm not buying that.
Pam made a very interesting point that this whole prosecution is under the name of Her Majesty, who herself drinks raw milk. Michael, who is that face when you see the enemy on the other side who's driving this? Is it Ontario Health Minister Deb Matthews? Is it Premier Dalton McGuinty? Is it our local dairy farmer? Who is that face on the other side who's driving this?
I think there is no face, and that is the danger of this. And I always call it a faceless dictatorship. It is the bureaucracy which runs basically this whole clampdown in regards to enforcing these regulations. I mean, they make regulations out of sight of and knowledge of citizens, and they drive the bus in that whole, you know, in the whole story. No doubt that the dairy farmers of Ontario are, you know, very supportive in regards to prosecuting me. I mean, I'm a thorn in their side for many, many years. But at the same time, you know, they're neglecting completely the needs of people and the wishes of people who want this product, who have experienced a positive health effect on the, from this product. And at the same time, it's all just a political hogwash going on. Bureaucracy, I think, is a very, very dangerous and powerful enemy for all of us, and we need to stay on top of that and need to recognize that there's not one person who is the enemy here. It is a whole slew of public servants who are driving the bus here.
We're out of time. I have to ask your lawyer, Karen Selleck. You've said Michael's in danger. What's your advice to Michael this morning?
I don't give my advice to my clients publicly over the radio.
That's true. Well, Michael's not going to give up. We already know that. He's a fighter to the end.
You know what Michael's going to do in any event.
Okay.
That's right.
Karen Selleck, Michael Schmidt, we thank you both for joining us this morning. We'll keep following this crusade to get a law or clear the way legally for us to be able to buy and drink milk the way God meant it in the cow. Michael, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
and
Michael.
Thanks, Karen. We admire your courage, Michael, if nothing else. And Karen, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much. And Pam, a parting word. You're going to be talking about milk at your boot camp.
Yes, I have my boot camp starting on October 1st, every Saturday for the month of October, except Thanksgiving weekend from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Central Library. I'm going to be doing a lot of talks on raw milk and the benefits of raw milk. A lot of the propaganda surrounding why we have this stigma around the dangers around raw milk. So I'll be getting into that subject quite a bit over the next several weeks. And I have more information on my website, which is www.pamkilleen.com. And on Sunday, I'm going to be in Guelph, Ontario at Chapters at Stone Road Mall. I'm doing a book signing from 1 to 5 p.m. on Sundays.
Just trying to get us healthy, folks. Thank you so much, Pam Killeen. When we come back on the other side of the news,